Shall no more be heard in your land. Devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you by night. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, or your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. The word of the Lord.
Check, 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 check. Ding dong. Yeah, it's me with Dixon Jeans, podcast number 712. And if you're not sure who me is, what the hell are you doing here? I made a list today of topics I wanted to get out and, share with you, discuss. Today is the day of George Bush's funeral, so we may as well start with that. That'd be George Bush Sr. I watched quite a bit. We had no choice. I mean, CBC, our national television station, was covering the funeral in its entirety. And that's okay. A former Prime Minister, Brian Mulroney, gave a speech, and it was a warm and friendly speech. Now, what's interesting about that? Donald Trump was sitting in the front row, the only living president not to speak at a former president's funeral. And probably asked not to and probably didn't want to. He was not looking very comfortable, but he was sitting in the row with Jimmy Carter and, of course, George Bush on the other side, George Jr., and, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. And he looked really like, whoa, what a thing to sit through. I mean, he was suffering, I'm sure. But when Mulroney spoke, and he spoke about the humor and the good relations, because he did get along with Bush, and that's why he was picked, obviously, to speak. But it was quite warm, and it was all about, hey, Canada and America have a long, warm relationship that means a lot. And it just, everything he said just seemed pointed at Trump, like it was everything that's not happening under the Trump. He talked about NATO, he talked about what he was doing, and, Brian Mulroney, when he was 20, was just working at a job to pay for his law school, a labor job, and he had his mom's home cooking, but George Bush at 20 was being shot down over the Pacific, and again, bam, what's Trump doing? Yeah, well, finding any way he can get out of serving. So I enjoyed that part. The Christian part just floored me. Like the Jesus Christ, the God Almighty, the meat in heaven, all of that. I realized how far I've come in my, whoa, put the brakes on that shit. Don't do any of that at my funeral. And I'm glad when my mother died, she believed, right towards the end, she'd be meeting dear Leslie at, when she went up to heaven, because she was a good Christian woman. And of course, I did not try and correct her. But when George Bush Jr. said at the very end, as he teared up and said he'd be hugging his the daughter they lost to leukemia, I think, and would be once again holding Laura Bush's hand. Was it Laura Bush? Is that his? No, that's the present. Whatever Senior Bush's wife's name was, forgive me, I'm Canadian, not American, should know these things, but that he'd be holding her hand once again. And I teared up. I got teary. Like, hey, I'm an atheist. I tweeted that. But still, You know, it was beautiful sentiment. So there you go. And it was like, I mean, it was a state funeral, but it looked, when it first came on, I thought, holy shit, this is just like a royal wedding. All the uniforms, the pageantry, the beautiful cathedral it was held in. It was quite impressive for an American. We're used to seeing that in England when royals get married or, you know, have a funeral. Heaven forbid, oh my God, when Queen Elizabeth dies, wow. Anyway, it was impressive, but gee, all the prayers and the, you know, it just, well, okay, I guess you cannot be president in America unless you are a firm Christian, a believer, or at least put out all the outward signs. And it almost made me sort of cheer for the snake Trump, who doesn't seem to have an ounce of Christianity in him. Okay. So the other thing I kind of objected to was that I heard on CBC saying flags will be flown at half-mast across Canada. I'm thinking, wait a minute, why? He was an American president from quite a while ago. He died at a ripe old age. This was no tragedy or assassination or anything else. This is just, you know, he lived a good full life. And why are our flags at half-mast? This is a courtesy, clearly, to the Americans, who with whom we want good trade relations. But it almost seemed like somebody would have been tipped off, like, yeah, I really think you should. And I don't think we should have. I don't think that's necessary. He was not our politician. I also read on alternative news sites, you know, with all the gushing on CNN and all over his warmth, his humor, his love for his family, the caring, the dedication to America, the joy, the love, the kindness under pressure, the generosity, all the wonderful, wonderful things about him. This alternative news media source listed the atrocities under his regime. I mean, remember, was he not the head of the CIA, if I got that wrong, or the Secret Service, whatever, and all the things that happened during his lifetime, and including the war, like the stories of Iraqi troops fleeing from wherever they invaded Kuwait, and first trucks at the front, trucks at the end, neutralized, bam, bomb, they can't move, all the others in the middle are stuck, and then just being strafed by American fighter jets till not one person was left alive in that convoy. It was literally overkill. And, you know, you can't argue those things. Oh, no, well, that's an alternative news source. That's not true. That's fake news. Well, probably not. So there was a lot of death and horror under his time as president. But anyway, let's, you know, leave that for now. We're not going to go any further, and I don't want to offend anybody else. I did see, you know, I wouldn't put any of this on Facebook, any of my thoughts. Twitter, okay, because not many people follow me or even pay attention to my tweets. But I do have some new American friends through the Road Trek gathering, and if I was to say anything about Bush when I'm seeing their posts about in tears as George W. is giving his speech, you know, don't rain on their parade. Okay, let's park Bush out there. Baby, it's cold outside. You've probably heard, this is old news, and I hate repeating old news, but for anybody listening to this from the distant future, they wouldn't remember that song. I love that Christmas song, Baby, It's Cold Outside. You know, stay here with me. And basically, it's a man hitting on a woman and just wants her to stay because, wow, whoa, we could sure warm each other up, baby. Well, the song just seemed so innocent and beautiful. Like, she's saying, no, I can't do that. And he's like, oh, come on, you know. And one station decided, radio station decided, whoa, this is coercing a woman against her will. I think there was even a line, what's in that drink? And of course, that right away makes you think of somebody spiking the drink, too, you know. And so you could see from the lyrics, yeah, this is a man being forceful with a woman. Now, I thought, oh, this is, come on, this is in response to the Me Too movement, you know. This is a song of, you know, you could see why some people would be disturbed, and yet it's such a beautiful song, and it was so innocent until we were told it wasn't. So a lot of other stations, and I think CBC amongst them, have, okay, we're not playing that, that's off our list. So I went on YouTube. Now, you will hear, actually, on this podcast, the song, and there was a video from the original showing of the movie, and I think it was back in the 1940s or something, and when you see the video, or from the film, with the lyrics, it is a bit chilling, and suddenly I start to see why Me Too might have a problem with this. This guy was a snake. He really was a slime ball in the movie, and this woman is trying to put it in her coat, and he's just taking that stole off her neck and doing everything to forcefully get in her way and not let her leave. So if you're judging from watching that video, I can understand, yeah, whoa, hey, wrong message, folks. But if you're just listening to the song and later versions that were just kind of happy and peppy and poppy and dancey, yeah, you know, let it go. But anyway, so I found that interesting. And again, the other thing that was interesting was the second clip from this film. And it might have been the same, I guess, yeah, it was the same movie because there was the same furniture, same room, except the man was playing the role and the woman was trying to get him to stay. And then suddenly it becomes all innocent, like he's just being a goofball. I believe it was, what's the comedian? Red Skelton was playing the part. And he's just a goofball, I gotta go. And then in the video, you see him putting on her coat and hat and getting out the door and coming back in. And she's saying, come on, baby. And it just completely turns the tails. Anyway, that's why I'm playing that song on this podcast somewhere, you know, now or later, whatever. Okay, we're done with that. I don't know how you feel about it, but it is interesting how these things come up. And at least they start conversation. There's a real backlash. You know, I'm going to play it more now. And that stupid Me Too movement and trying to use that to discredit Me Too. And that's not a good thing either. Okay. Boninkai. This is the year-end party of the Canada-Japan Society. It was held last night, and I didn't go. Probably for the first time in forever since I've been back here, you know, 20 years or more, I didn't go. I got the invite, and but it wasn't a personal invite. And this is what really gnaws at me a little bit. I really didn't. The last couple of times I went, I didn't enjoy it that much. It's all young people, a lot of Japanese people. People line up for the free food after you pay your $20. I don't want to get in a line for food. It's in a crowded bar. I don't know that many people anymore of the old time when I was on the board, when I was a president. Usually the Japanese consul general is obliged to drop by for a while, and they used to ask me to sit with him or talk to him. Any high-ranking Japanese official, my role as president, and then later on as just distinguished member of the Canada-Japan Society, they knew I would be polite and say the right things, and I would sit with them and have a drink with them, and that was neat. But nobody from the board reached out to me and said, Ken, are you coming? It was just, you know, I'm on the mailing list, because it's a new board. There's only a few people on there I know. And it wasn't enough to make me go. And then today I was thinking about it. Well, you know, why? Is that another sign of just you getting lazy about going out? You need to push yourself. But I think big picture doesn't matter in the least. And what I did instead, which was really peculiar, there was also the night of a board meeting of the West Hill United Church. And I thought, oh, I'll go to that. Not comparing the two, but just that where's my time and energy and focus going these days? It's not with Japan-related events. It's West Hill United. This is the here and now for me. So I went and I sat through 45 very boring minutes of going over budget matters and realized, Ken, get the hell out of here, man. Lucky for me, I got home in time to watch Baron von Sketch. Is that it? Baroness von Sketch, sorry. It's very important to have the Baroness part right. It wasn't as funny as usual, you know, a little off on a couple of the skits, but still well worth watching. But I realized, oh, how am I going to get out here? I'm sitting there, Greta's beside me and other people, you know, the board and Scott, Greta's husband, our music director. how do I just get up in the middle of somebody reading, you know, speculations for next year's budget? And I just grabbed my coat, got up, and then whispered to Greta, it's not as, oh damn, what did I say? There's not as much bickering as I thought there'd be. And I thought that was a pretty clever exit line. You know, there's not as much bickering as I thought there'd be. So it's kind of a joke, but it also is another way of saying, this is bloody boring. And they understood, and they smiled, and I left and talked to Scott. And he said, yeah, this was not the best meeting to be sitting in on. This is all cut and dried, factual stuff. There's no discussion about our future or anything else other than in budgetary matters. So anyway, so there you go. I mean nothing to you as a listener, you know. So you didn't go to one board-related event. You went to another. Yeah. So what's the point? Well, I don't know. Point is, my life is changing. And I still am committed. I did go in the morning. I went to the only cafe at 9 a.m. to meet somebody from the congregation who I didn't know that well. He speaks almost every week, and he's quite funny. He's had the misfortune of having several major health issues come upon him. And he said, by the time I got the fifth one, I decided the glass was full, and I'm just positive about it, rather than poor me. And it was an interesting and a very genuine observation. Like, okay, hey, that's just life, you know. Tough luck for me, but I got to get on with things. So we talked for 2 hours in the coffee shop at the only cafe, and it was interesting to get to know him a little better, and him, me, and share some thoughts. He's had a very interesting background. I guess there's no point in me going into any details. It doesn't mean anything to you. But it was this, again, this pull towards West Hill United and the congregation. And Greta, I'm meeting Scott next Friday. Again, Greta's husband. So well, it was an interesting man, grown up a Baptist in his entire life until he met Greta. And so we'll have a lunch together out in Whitby. And what else is on my list? I think that was just about it. Oh, I got a doctor. I'm recording now from the St. Andrew's Cemetery because it's just around the corner from the clinic where I have to go to see my doctor. Today's my day for a very quick follow-up medical. And, you know, this is a guy who doesn't touch me, who sits at his computer, prints off my new meds list, and very quickly, I talk to him more than he talks to me. I know I've mentioned this before on the podcast, and it's my fault. So today, I actually made a list of 4 points I have to bring up, and the main one is my balance, my concern about, hey, I can't stand and tilt my head backwards without feeling I'm going to fall over and having to steady myself. I cannot, you know, in the dark looking up at the stars, I cannot stand, tilt my head back and look up at the stars. It's a matter of balance. I will just, boom, fall down. At night, I've mentioned walking around a campfire, like, whoa, in the dark, I'm going to fall. And because I guess I'm losing the stability somehow that comes with being able to see things and right yourself that way. So I don't want this to get a whole lot worse, because pretty soon, I mean, it's going to be having one of those Johnny Walkers in front of you. I'll get a cane before then, but still, you know, if there's any way to put the brakes on this or find out, is there something I should be doing? Yes, physio. I'm going to bring that up too. And finally, okay, a little shout out to John Leshinsky. John, as you know, is the person who almost single-handedly, or so it appears, organizes PodCamp Toronto. I hear he does that because he doesn't really like to share the limelight, because he didn't get much limelight. He just likes doing it himself. He's a bit of a loner. But there are other people. I know our very own Gappage co-host Brent Morris, also known as Closet Geek, helps out. And others do behind the scenes. But there used to be a huge, full team of people, and now it seems to be John. But meanwhile, he's also promoting the Canadian Amateur Podcast Awards. And he's put up a very neat page showing what the categories are, how you can vote, the little quiz you have to go through to be eligible to vote. and putting in, saying, hey, the nomination's due the end of December. And that was quite a bit of work. And visually, it's impressive. And the idea that you've got all these categories. And I teased him a couple of times on, you know, winners and so on, because I did last year, apparently. The vague memory, I was pretty drunk, pretty high, but did get the award for personal podcasting. I think it was the only one announced. But now there's a special Bob Goyetch Award, and Sylvain Grandmaison suggested it be called The Bob. And I thought, whoa, everybody thought, how perfect, The Bob. You get The Bob. For the person who does most for the community, that is not me, and I'm not putting a pitch up here, but somebody who's, you know, following in kind of what Bob did to actually create community, bring people together, and that's a worthy thing to honor Bob and to keep his memory alive. So congrats to Mr. John Leshinsky, also known as Picard 102. And I'm going to end there because, ooh, shit, I got to go. I got my doctor's appointment. I got to get into that parking lot and get in there. All right, Scarborough Dude, signing off. 20 minutes exactly. Hey, bingo bongo, wasn't that great? Bye for now.
You know, for an evening that started out so badly, it has definite possibilities. No, 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 before you drink, you must always say salute.
Salute.
You know,
Salute.
Salute.
You know, on second thought.
Yes?
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop
so
in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
My
hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
well,
hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I fall.
The neighbors might
But baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this
no
drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Right. Eyes are like stars
to
right
break
now.
This spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no, no, no.
Mind
sir.
If I move in closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't.
Oh, baby,
stay.
Don't hold out, baby.
Oh, but it's cold outside.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is
but
no.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The welcome has
How
been
lucky that you dropped
so
in.
So nice and warm.
Look out the window at that storm.
My sister will be sister.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon a tropical shore.
My maid aunt's mind is vicious.
Gosh, your lips are delicious.
Or maybe just a cigarette more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I've got to get
but
home.
But baby, you'd freeze out there.
Say, lend me a coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been grand.
I thrill when you touch my
but
hand.
Don't you see?
How can you do this thing to me.
It's bound to be talked tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong
At
sorrow.
At least there will be plenty implied.
If you got pneumonia and die,
I really can't
get
stay.
Over that old doubt, baby.
Ah, but it's cold,
outside. I really can't
but
stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you'd drop
so
in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hand. They're just like
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
And father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Maybe just a little drink more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might
But baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this
no
drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew
your
how.
Your eyes are like stars
to
right
break
now.
This spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks
I
red.
Ought to say no, no, senor.
Mind if I move in
At
close.
Least I'm going to say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't
oh,
stay.
Oh, baby, don't hold out,
oh,
baby.
But
it's
cold
outside.
You see?
simply must go.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is
but
no.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The greeting has been
lucky that I dropped
so nice and warm.
Look out the window at that
your
storm.
Sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
Your brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon a tropical shore.
Your maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
Gosh, your lips are delicious.
Maybe just a cigarette more.
Never such a blizzard before.
You've got to go
but
home.
Baby, I'd freeze out there.
I'll lend you my comb.
It's up to my knees out there.
You've really been grand.
Thrill when you touch me.
But don't you see?
How can you do this thing to
There's
me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Think of your lifelong
At
sorrow.
Least there will be plenty implied.
If I caught pneumonia and died.
Really can't
Get
stay.
Over that old doubt,
oh,
baby.
Oh, but it's cold outside.
Like a song like the Beatles, Oh Darling by the Beatles, which is a song I love, you know, McCartney's song.
Mm-hmm.
It took something like 47 takes because literally
that.
George Martin was kept saying, do it again, do it again, do it again, to the point where like McCartney's voice eventually got so raw. That's the performance that you got in the song, was his voice literally starting to go out on him. And when you listen to that song, so I don't know what it took to get to this, or if he sat back, or if he did like long periods between takes, or but
I'm going to fade that out. That is, of course, Anthony Marco on the this Top 100 albums.
Anyway, like I said, you're
going to
hear it.
Hats off again to, now what is it, Cheesy Jason? I don't know. They've changed all the names again for coming up with this idea and getting people to choose an album they want to talk about. And Anthony, of course, being a musician, and Anthony being Anthony, and you know, an English major and everything else, you know, he was going to do a brilliant job on an album I don't know that well. I only know a few. I have Bruce. My time with Bruce Springsteen was on cassette tapes, and I had a couple, and they did mean a lot. I had one I know in Japan. What was the one, Down to the Water or something? I don't know. Down to the River? You know, somebody's shouting at me now, hey, calm down, calm down. You know, he wasn't really of my time, but I did like some of the songs, but certainly not to the degree that Anthony and Jason seem to, which makes this show interesting. This is the In Your Ears podcast I'm talking about. Okay, so I gotta move on. I am right now in Bluffers Park, and what's unusual about me being in Bluffers Park today is I'm also in the road trek. Now, I seldom move, but, you know, out of the driveway, unless I'm going on a trip. But yesterday I looked at the left front tire, and it looked kind of flat. And I thought, oh, it's not good, and it just reminded me, no, you gotta take this thing out once in a while and run it and, you know, charge up the batteries, whatever, even though it's plugged in. And so I got in, turned it on, and checked, and according to the indicators of the tires, they're fine. It just kind of looked flat. Maybe it was parked in a lump or whatever. But lately, I would guess for the past several months, once I get something in my head, the old Ken would just say, yeah, okay, maybe, nah, I don't feel like it, yeah, later. And the new Ken is doing these things. I'm just doing them. And so, you know, I can't, there's no excuse not to get in the thing and drive. You know, there's always a little, oh, yeah, it's just, you got to park it again and plug it in and unplug it. And oh, come on, there's no excuses. Just get out and drive that thing, because you got to get yourself ready for your next trip. And I'm telling myself, you've got to go to Arizona. And I think it's going to be hard not to do that. Oh, here's a bell. We're started. Okay, so I've got my McDonald's coffee using the drive-thru. Sorry. And, yeah, here I am. Ooh, got to turn the lights back to auto. I have to have it turned on for the backup camera to work on just the running lights or something, and I like to use that when I'm backing out of the driveway to make sure I'm going center. But mirrors do the same thing. I had this thing bought and attached. I guess it's useful backing into a campsite. Yes, it does of some value, but it's not great. And I, when I'm on the highway, I often have it on. I want to know how close the asshole behind me is to my the rear end. So, yeah, it has its role. Oh, don't park right beside me, asshole. Good, he's not. Yeah, I'm parked on the beach side. And I've got a few things I wanted to go through, so I actually once again made a few notes for this episode 712. Maybe I'll start off with the one that's on the bottom, Paul Desmond. Now, Doug has been playing bits of Paul Desmond recently, including Take 10. And I love it. I've always loved the sax. And thought, man, I gotta get me some of that. And I'm trying to curtail the buying stuff, you know, buying books on Amazon and, you know, downloading iTunes. But for $10, there is one Paul Desmond CD from 2013 with 50 tracks on it. Now, more interesting probably is there are, you know, you can get the digital versions from 1954. There's something called Starlight, which is an amazing tune. And it's probably not, I mean, maybe it is. I don't know if it's on the 50 best, but it is quite wonderful. And then that leads you into, oh, my God, he's done duets with Chet Baker and with Jerry Mulligan and all these other great players. And you go, oh, one of those would be good. But I find it very hard to not pick up on, you know, 50 tunes for $10, because you're going to get a lot of stuff you like, and it's mostly the Brubeck period. Speaking of which, this I think is pretty amazing. I saw Dave Brubeck in concert at my university, so George William University, back, I guess, when was I there? Late 60s. Maybe it was 69, I don't know, when he was still, they were doing concert tours, and this was not Place des Arts, this was the auditorium at Sir George Williams, which is quite amazing. Same place they started off the charges of racism and took over the university from that. I was sitting in the audience at that time. I keep telling people about the Sir George riots. No, never heard of it. Holy shit, this is Canadian history. Why don't you know? Well, because American history dominates, or we just don't pay attention to Canadian history because it's being smothered out of our books, because who cares? Because it's not interesting? That's going to lead me to another topic, but back to Paul Desmond. I'm going to have to buy that one when I get back, so you're probably going to hear a little Paul Desmond on this when I get home and cobble this together. Thank you, Doug, for that tip, because it's wonderful. Now, speaking of Doug, I wasn't listening to any of his 12 days leading up to the 12 days of Jason Rees's 12 Days of Christmas, because I thought, I don't want any fucking Christmas stuff. I'm not ready for it. I never am. Till basically the 23rd, 24th, I start to feel, oh, it's Christmas. I gotta get stuff for the stockings and do stuff, you know, even though I've already bought my own Christmas presents. Fresh socks, underwear, and books. I'm giving up on my wife. I don't think we've exchanged gifts for a while. It's just, you know, I put out chocolate and a nice little bottle of sake or some wine or something that she ignores and just puts on the table for everybody because we're not doing that. And then she always goes around and I find something. Maybe it's not wrapped. Suddenly I go back upstairs and there's a nice, beautiful sweater or something lying on my bed or some shirts. And I'm like, oh, my God. She's done this for me. I always love the stuff she gets, even though I'm balking. I don't know. I don't need any new shirts. And I always end up loving it. I know. I know. But she is, believe me, she is a very hard person to buy for. She just prefers to do her own. And even things, if I was going to say, well, just get her a spa certificate. No, she would have to choose it. And it. I know. I've given up, okay? She's fine with that. I will just encourage her. Please, please, please get stuff. But she gets stuff herself all year round. And I'm continually seeing boxes being recycled, going back into the car to be given away or something else. So she does all right. She is not suffering, okay? That much. Now, well, that threw me off, yeah. Canadian Amateur Podcast. Doug on his show said, you know, we really maybe should change that. Now, I'm paraphrasing here, but we really maybe should change that because we've got Americans and we can't be excluding them. And I went ballistic. Well, I didn't go ballistic. Some might say I overreacted, but hey, I was alone, so how could I? I'm saying no, I reacted strongly. I was in the No Frills or Dave's Fruits and Vegetables or one of those places, you know. And Freshco, listening to the podcast, because I finally decide I'm ready, and then realize, oh, much to my great surprise and satisfaction, Doug is not playing a whole lot of Christmas music. He's saving that for the other Jason. But he came out with this statement that we should drop the Canadian. And I know I said out loud in the grocery store, because I had the earbuds in, no! And I'm pretty sure that was followed up, for fuck's sake, man! And Jesus Christ! Although those might have been in my head and not out loud. But that's just so you can gauge my reaction. No, no, no. For Christ's sake, we've got nothing left that's fucking Canadian. Nothing. We're owned by the Chinese. We're owned by the Russians. We're owned by the Americans. Everything Canadian is owned by somebody else. There's nothing left of this pitiful country. Don't fucking take away this piddly little goddamn meaningless title, Canadian Amateur Podcast, because perhaps I'm not doing a very good job of explaining quietly, patiently, why I feel that's important. But it is us. It was our little bit of humbleness. We don't need to make money. We don't need to be big. We don't need to be number one. We don't need to be anything. We're just a bunch of friendly, like-minded people who sometimes meet up in real life at PodCamp Toronto or at PAB or at What You See Is What You Get. No, Marshall McLuhan Podcaster Roundtables in Hamilton. And get to be friends and welcome like-minded people. And I think it's quite wonderful that our American friends join in and look forward and come down. And I don't think our American friends, who are part of this community, a very welcome part of this community, are asking us to get rid of the Canadian part. Would any dare? And Doug says, well, you know, this title, Honorary Canadian, is kind of meaningless. And I say, yeah, it's just a joke, but it's saying you found us. They found us and they want to be with us. Let's keep it that way, for Christ's sake. Come on! We're Canadian amateur fucking podcasters! I'm sorry. Yes, that is overreacting. It's just, why? Why? Okay, we've taken away, you know, maybe it's cold outside. We've taken away lots of things. Is this really necessary? Is anybody asking this? Doug, why the fuck? Okay, sorry. Doug, you know we're friends. And I mean, I began this thanking you for Paul Desmond. This is nothing of a personal attack. Except for Christ's sake, man! No. All right. Okay, let's maybe park that. I don't think. Yeah! I don't think I'm emotionally equipped to deal with that reasonably right now. I think I'm just too disturbed by it. Why? What's wrong with Canadian Amateur Podcasters? We welcome. It is our little group here. Why give everything away, for Christ's sake? They're not asking to take it. Why are you handing it to them? Why drop that? Why not Amateur Podcasters, so everybody can be part of it? Anybody can be part of it if they are like-minded, if they have those kind of Canadian qualities. Oh, yeah, there's one, yeah. No, all right, moving on. Canadian Tire money. Ooh, I have a stack at home that I just can't get rid of. I could buy underwear and Marks with my Canadian Tire money, lots of it, a stack. I just think it's so neat, this play money, that you see popped up. I mean, there was money. I think maybe I gave it. I don't know. Somebody gave it in Takemi's in the bar in Yokohama. You'll see it around the world. Somebody has put up when people are pasting their money on a wall in kind of a bar that's trying to attract international visitors. You will see Canadian Tire money. And Canadians just love it. Yeah, I don't want to see the Queen on a $1 bill, which I'm talking about the old days. I'm talking about Canadian Tire money. All right, I got a drawer full of it. I love it. If anybody needs, you know, one, I'll be happy to give them out as little gifts. I'll bring some to the next little gathering. I'll hand out only one. You're not getting a complete set. I've got the $1, the 25 cent, the 10 cent, the fives, and the... I don't think there was a 1 cent. No. Anyway, safes. I don't know if I talked about this on the last time. Tom of Shane and Tom's podcast, Squeezebox Podcast, said, whoever used the word safe, I never heard of that before. And forgive me, I may have talked about this already because it bothered me so much, but I have another twist to it. If only I could say word for word what I said when I was having my shower and putting on my deodorant this morning. I gave such a brilliant monologue in my head, and now I'm trying to, you know, bring it back. A rite of passage when you're in grade 8 was to put a safe. There was nothing else. Ramsey's might have been the brand name. I don't even know if Trojan was around or well known. But you bought a safe to prove to all the other guys you knew about sex. You never used it. The thing rotted in your wallet. It left a permanent circle in your wallet for as long as you had that wallet. We didn't change them every year in those days. We kept things. It was a safe. And it was to show, yeah, one of these days I might get lucky and have to use one of these babies. It was just so silly. But you did that. And I'm sure you've probably, maybe in The Catcher in the Rye, maybe in some other movie from the 1950s, you might have seen this. I'm talking about from 1961 on. You'd carry one in your wallet and pretend you thought you might need it one day. Okay, let's just park that. But they were known as safes, okay? Just saying that word. Yeah, it's been written out of the language. Okay, we're going to move on. We're going to move on to a book now because I need to calm down. I told you I treated myself to a book by Ian Haworth called Rock and Radio When DJs and Rock Music Ruled the Airwaves. And it's quite the wonderful thing is, man, oh man, this was my Montreal. These are the years when I first stopped listening to the records, the albums that my parents had, and listened to radio. Well, came a little bit later than that, in the 60s, in Montreal, on my little rocket radio, and then probably borrowed my sister's first Sony, and listened to AM, and then later FM music when they launched CKGM FM, which became SHOM. A fellow called Bob Gillies, who came, was hired, worked for CFCF. I'll just read a little bit about him. These were the days when you had actual radio personalities that weren't all ruled by the corporate world and sort of given their playlist and given their personalities, basically, and the kind of jokes they would have to tell. Like Young was known, this was a TV show that Roger Gillies is up in the Yukon, no relation. Bob Gillies, whose radio career covered CKGM started in 1963, was a multi-talented. He was a DJ, a co-host of CFCF-TV's popular teen dance show Like Young, singer, and scored many films in Hollywood after leaving radio in 1968. All right. Like Young was no American Bandstand, but for the newly minted TV station, that would be CFCF, Channel 12 in Montreal, it attracted a surprisingly rabid teenage following in a short period of time. Unlike Clark's show, that would be Dick Clark, which was primarily a studio production, Like Young sent their hosts out into the community to meet teenagers on their own turf, such as pool parties at local swimming pools. In 1971, Like Young was picked up by Dick Clark and syndicated nationally, the only Canadian show of its kind to achieve this. Renowned rock and roll and R&B acts which came to Montreal to play clubs and arenas would appear on the show. Benny King, Diana Ross, Tommy James and the Shondells, a nasty Frank Zappa, I wish he gave a little more information on that one, and an agitated Jerry Lee Lewis who, unhappy with the way the interview was going, took the mic right out of host Jim McKenna's hand and told him, "You don't know what you're doing." Then he threw the mic on the ground and left. Now, it's just a little bit of trivia, but you know, that's fun. That's fun. Going on, and this is like the beginning of... Everything was middle of the road back in those days, and this was the time when they realized, hey, we got a teenage following out there who's liking this new stuff, and they want rock and roll. They don't want the middle of the road stuff. And the one of the guy who bought CKGM is from Newfoundland, Sterling. Very interesting story, but I'm not going to read all that out. Let's get back to Bob Gillies. Where are we now? Okay. Jesus Christ. The Hodgepodge, which was the station, reflected everywhere on the Billboard charts for the first year Gillies was behind the mic at CKGM. The number one hits of 1963 featured an array of artists whose rock and roll credentials were dubious and diverse. Las Vegas crooner Steve Lawrence, Leslie Gore, Stevie Wonder, and the singing nun all had number one hits that year. Gillies occasionally showed his distaste for some of the rock fluff on CKGM's early 60s playlist. Much to the chagrin of his music director of the day, Gillies refused to play songs like Hey Paula by Paul and Paula, I remember that, easily one of the corniest songs of 1963. He hated Dominique. Now, does anybody out there know Dominique by the singing nun? Somebody must. Somebody will. Oh, my God, do I remember that. That was everywhere, and all ages seemed to love Dominique by the singing nun. Well, Bob Gillies didn't. He hated Dominique by the singing nun so much, a number one hit on the charts that year, that he tossed the 45 out of the Drummond Street CKGM studio window. Then, to put the final nail in Dominique's coffin, he drove the CKGM Corvair, unsafe at any speed, over it. So that's just a little bit. And what a gift to myself. This is my time. And this is not just, you know, the usual generic, oh, the Beatles and so on, written for everybody on the planet. This is for people from Montreal who grew up with CFCF, CKGM, and CFOX. And the battle, and how I remember the battle, he hasn't got to this part yet, when they would fly somebody, in this case, CKGM had a friend who was a pilot, and they would get the pilot to bring in the latest Beatle record from England before anybody else could get it. And the other radio stations, CFCF, I guess, would tape the playing of it, and then, of course, they would have it 5 minutes later. They had the same song. And so to stop this practice, they started putting sounds, annoying sounds, in the middle of the record, which annoyed the fuck out of me and other listeners because, hey, you just fucking wrecked the song so the other station couldn't pirate. I just want to hear the song. I don't want to hear that annoying buzz you put in to stop them from playing it. That was a thing. And I'll be shocked if that isn't talked about in this book. So anyway, it's just, it's great. I'm thrilled. And oh my God, 22 minutes. So listen, I would really love to hear, and I know I never hear from anybody. Fuck you then. I don't care, but yes, I care. I would love to, even in a tweet, hear from other Canadians, Americans about my overreaction to the talk about taking it. And now the thing is, taking Canadian out of amateur podcast, Canadian amateur broadcasting, the thing is, it's not anywhere expressly other than there is one Facebook group that's called that, but there's also Toronto podcasting, there's a million other Facebook groups with different names. Where is this really used that excludes anybody? So, I mean, in particular, I'd love to hear from any American listener, and I'm only thinking of four people right now who listen to this are part, consider themselves part of the Canadian amateur podcasting group. Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't even think in those terms. Maybe they don't use that expression. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I just have a problem with getting rid of it. Okay, Jesus Christ, I gotta sit here and unwind. I'm gonna go back to listen to Anthony and Cheese Jason or Jason Cheese or I don't know where. Yeah, something about, well, he's not from Wisconsin. Where'd the cheese come up? Well, there was a great line that, now you know what I'm talking about. Never mind. All right, Scarborough Dude, signing off. We'll be right back. Yeah, take two. I really flubbed the first one. I seldom do this, but oh my God, was I mixing words. So, Doug had played some Paul Desmond. Absolutely loved it, especially the Take 10 and Stardust. And so went online, oh man, I could buy this stuff. And you start looking through and you get albums from 57, you get albums with Jerry Mulligan, some stuff with Chet Baker, of course the Brubeck stuff. And then realize, oh, I've got a whole lot of Brubeck already. Do I really need this? And I went back and forth. And then I was going through jazz collections. Oh, there's probably some Paul Desmond on these. And you end up, you can get an album with seven tunes for $10. Or you can get an album with 50 or 100 or even 200 songs for $8, $7, $6. It's just crazy. But you realize, do I need 200 of the best jazz ever kind of stuff? You know, how many of those songs am I going to weed through? And in the end, I didn't get anything. I said, no, tomorrow I'm going to get back my hard drive. So there we go, next topic. I got the call, go back in. I have my old MacBook Pro. No, it was just a MacBook, the old black MacBook. You'll see a picture on the cover of this thing. And $80 cash only. I only had 50, so gave him 50 and gave the other guy he's sharing the shop with 30 plus tax on a card. But how nice. I had a spare hard drive. He erased it and loaded it up. I've got my music back. And for, you know, for the $83, it was worth that. Plus, he gave me the hard drive. He said, look, all you need to do is you can buy a case for $20 and you got all your original stuff right here on the hard drive. So that was a problem solved and I feel really good about it. And yes, those of you out there could have easily removed the hard drive yourself and saved all that money, but I didn't. Because first of all, I went in thinking, is it just the battery? I didn't know it was the motherboard, too. And anyway, it's just a piece of heavy plastic right now. But the thrill is, I've got my music back. That's what I wanted, so that's why I'm not buying any Paul Desmond or anything else. I got tunes on there. God, some I've probably never played. So no shortage of music for the Dixon James podcast. You'll be getting some strange ones coming up. I just found an album I'd completely forgot about, Shakespeare My Butt. I don't know who gave it to me. Maybe it was Brian. It was good stuff. So anyway, check that off. Speaking of problem solving, I have my stereo hooked up. I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but not the stereo, the TV with stereo speakers. So we got the, what's the Korean company that makes TVs? Okay. And then we've got the thing from Rogers, you know, the big controller for the getting all your internet stuff. And then we've got a Sony surround sound speaker system, not properly set up, but it stopped working. And I couldn't figure it out. So now we're just getting the sounds out of the Samsung TV only. And the Sony's not working. And I tried, and there was cables, so many cables in the back. Dan and I together one day worked, and it probably took us an hour, and now it works. We have the system, and it was a question. Half the problem is the remotes. You got three remotes for these things. So, sorry if I've told you that, but it was just nice that with my son, we, while my wife was away, we solved a problem. We got it working. Not only that, I love the kitchen stove light that's above the stove. Dan said, take the whole damn thing down. It's a microwave. They're fixed into a microwave that doesn't work anymore, wall-mounted. Just rip it off. And I'm thinking, no, there's going to be a hole in the wall for the vent system. There's going to be a mess. There's no way of ripping it off. But anyway, we gradually found a way. It took us a period of 2 days to take this apart. I bought replacement bulbs. They looked the same. They weren't. One of them was stuck in. We had to smash the bulb to get pliers, turn the power off, get the thing out with pliers. It was a real job. We got it done. We cleaned it. We cleaned the vents, the filters. We cleaned the glass. We've got two new bulbs. It works perfectly. Again, this is the new Ken. Fix something before your wife gets home. I feel so good about it. And again, it was Daniel and I doing it together. Sorry, did I say Daniel? I meant Chuck and I doing it together. And that's satisfying. We can both feel good about it. So I guess I'm going to end on that. No, those are the only points I wanted to come up with. What is it? Yeah, okay. We're done. So listen, I'm sorry you've got an extra podcast this week because it was the Canadian National Day of Podcasting. And so this is coming a little early or whatever. Scarborough Dude, going to the a new bar tonight. So you'll be hearing about that on the next podcast. We're going to the Dylan. The name really annoys me. Sounds a little pretentious. It's not that far from the Only, about a subway stop away. I'm going to meet Brian there and maybe the lovely Lisa. And check it out. And pretty damn sure it might be a one-time only. But hey, you got to venture out sometimes. So for a change, I'm going to get an extra walk in. I'm going to walk all the way from Coxwell. Check out the new bar when it opens at 5. And probably end up at the Only anyway. Scarborough Dude, signing off.